Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, for me, it really don't matter. Like I said, I've been pretty consistent. If they don't want me here, they don't want me here. I go about my business. I understand the nature of the business. Like I said, as long as I'm here and under contract, I'm going to do what I have to do to perform at the highest level. But if this is then, this is then. You know, there's same way that Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones and the other Jerry Jones take care of their family, it's the same way I need to take care of my family. You know, I mean, I got my own three kids of my own, so we all need to take care of our own family at the end of the day.
Micah Parsons and Trayvon Diggs firing back at Jerry yesterday. We have been all over it here on your home of the Dallas Cowboys. It's Sean, RJ, and Bobby, and no reason to have the fan cam off for an hour because we just had Brian Broaddus from Oxnard, Brett Boone, Rangers hitting coach at 920, and right now, the legend himself. I felt his aura at Rayo's in New Orleans. I know you guys weren't there, but I walked in. I saw the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and I just felt the power. It wasn't the meatballs. It was Adam Schefter at this NFL party that I was able to sneak into. And he's now joining us on the fan cam, Twitch, and YouTube, brought to you by Wild Fork Foods, wildforkfoods.com, elite game day grilling favorites. Adam, good morning.
Sean, RJ, Bobby, thank you for having me today. Appreciate it. Nice to be with you.
Yes. Yesterday, we went to you guys live as you reported that the Cowboys have not actually exchanged contract proposals with Micah Parsons. Stephen Jones confirmed he also has not spoken to Micah's agent. Adam, we keep trying to find excuses for the Joneses and how they're negotiating these deals. We know the narrative, right, and the fact that they keep waiting and waiting and waiting. How unusual is it for the cap guy to do the talking until the very end? And what are we maybe missing about the way Jerry and Steven do this that they're not getting enough credit for?
Well, I think what happened here is that there has not been any recent talks. There has not been any recent contractual exchanges. But I think we have to go back to the spring. And if we go back to the owners' meetings and the lengthy press conference that Jerry Jones held at that time, I think that was quite revelatory in the sense that he was talking about meeting with Micah and he was ready to do the deal. And it certainly sounded at that point in time like Jerry and Micah were down the line on a deal. And then all of a sudden we had Micah tweet out, "We're not going to do a deal without my agent, David Mulgeta." And I think ever since then, everything's come to a screeching halt, which tells me that at that point in time, the Cowboys and Micah felt like maybe the deal was going to get done. And it also means that I don't know if the Cowboys are particularly pleased because they probably felt like the deal was going to get done. And Micah had to get his agent involved because he's one of the top guys out there. And that's his professional responsibility. So it gets murkier and murkier. Mm-hmm. And the more the time passes and the more inactivity there is, the more questions there are, the more conversation there is, the more speculation that arises, and that's kind of where we're at today, right? Now, what happens from here? That'll be interesting.
I think
Dallas felt like it was going to get a deal done at one point in time, and I think now everything's kind of, again, nothing going on.
How often does the cap guy in other organizations take it up to this point? Like, is it a blinking red alarm that Jerry or Steven have not spoken to Mulugeta?
Yeah, the deal's not going to get done that way. Like, David's going to have to be involved, I think. And I can't speak for Mike and Dave, but you heard what Micah said in that tweet, right? That David's my agent and he's going to do this deal. And I think that this just got so. I think Micah probably, in hindsight, looking at all of this and reviewing it all, Micah probably went further than he should have in a solo way, thinking he was doing a good thing. And actually, it probably was counterproductive in the long term to getting a deal done.
So in the terms of no formal offer made, is that like obviously it's a piece of paper here that it's
well,
got everything
well, again,
written down?
Again, I think I should have probably said it that in recent months or weeks. Back then, you know, no offer. Like I think Jerry and Micah had a deal, the parameters of a deal certainly in place. So an offer back then was made, right? But not recently, not in recent weeks.
Adam Schefter joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Adam, you know, that's one contract situation. The other one that's not getting negotiated right now, and it appeared to be something that was an agreement, also a David Mulugeta client, is George Pickens, who they traded for this offseason. What is the thought from the Cowboys on the Pickens acquisition? Is this really just a trial run, do you think, where they're saying, all right, we're going to make up our mind if we want to have him here long term, or could this be viewed specifically as just, no, this is a rental for a year where we're going in?
Well, I think it could be both, actually. I think that they bring him in knowing that they're going to have him for this year. They try out life with him. He tries out life with them. They see how they like each other. I think that they'd like to re-sign him. I think they'd like to keep him, but they also want to see how the year is going to go. And I'm sure he wants to see how the year is going to go and see what his market is, right? I think it's exploratory for both sides to figure out. And that's what they'll determine here in the days and weeks to come, whether or not they want to be together. So maybe he is just a one-year rental. Maybe he does get a long-term deal done with Dallas. I think both sides are probably open to that. I'm sure he feels really good about being a Cowboy right now. I'm sure they feel really good about having him here. You know, is that going to continue on for 20 weeks of the season? We'll see. And that'll help determine whether or not he is or isn't in Dallas.
Pickens' reputation leaving Pittsburgh obviously was not a great one. How much of that do you think was reality-based versus, hey, he just needed a fresh start, or maybe there were just some hurt feelings, and so maybe some of the feedback became more negative as things went along?
Listen, I think when I spoke to people in Pittsburgh, the thing that always came back to me about George Pickens is he is the most talented wide receiver in the game. That's how they felt. Wow. They just, it wasn't always easy to communicate with him. It wasn't always easy to have him on time to meetings. Like, there were certain little things that I think George, over time, probably needs to be more responsible and accountable for. And if George can do those sorts of things and be responsible and accountable, then he's going to be an unbelievable wide receiver in this league.
Adam Schefter joining us here, 105 Through the Fan. What is your philosophy, your opinion on the Cowboys' contract philosophy, where they just seem to take forever, wait till the very, very last minute? I mean, Jerry's obviously smart. I mean, he's no dummy. But what's your opinion on their philosophy?
Well, I think that's exactly it, RJ. Right? Like, I'm never gonna question the tactics of arguably one of the greatest marketers in American history, not sports history, American history. That's how Jerry is. Do I agree with how they would approach the cap? I would be more proactive about signing my players sooner. But I'm not going to argue with Jerry and the success that he has or hasn't had. Like, again, if we go back to last offseason, it's very easy to say it now, hindsight, but I would have said it back then. I was surprised that there were no conversations with Dak in February about a new deal. You know, a couple months later, Jared Goff gets done at $52 million. Then there are more quarterbacks that get done. And all of a sudden, Dak's at $60 million. So if they had gotten Jared Goff, or they had gotten him done at the time of Jared Goff, right before, right at, it's $52 million, it's $53 million. So it cost him an extra $7 million by waiting. What was the advantage of waiting? I don't know. Maybe Jerry liked that everybody was talking about Dak Prescott all summer. Maybe he got $7 million worth of PR. Like, that definitely could be the case. But to me, I would rather have signed him up early, had that $7 million to go spend on Derrick Henry. But I'm not going to argue with how they do things. Jerry's unbelievable.
ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter joining us here on The Fan. He's going to be telling us here shortly about a great cause that he's here to talk with us about. Before we get to that, Adam, I'm curious, you know, you mentioned Dak's contract there and how long they kind of meditated on that or thought about it. Last year was not a great year for him. He got hurt again and missed the back half of the year. Is there any part of the Cowboys you think that they look at it and go, man, we're kind of stuck now in a deal we wish we wouldn't have made?
I don't think that. I think, you know, Dak is still a top quarterback. He's just got to stay healthy. And if he's healthy, then the value will be there and there'll be other quarterbacks that surpass him in no time at all. And 2-3 years from now, that 60 might just be a bargain for Dak. So, you know, if Dak's out there and healthy, he's a great quarterback. But he just got to stay healthy, and that's been a battle recently.
Adam, you know, it was a big shock to a lot of people, I think, around the league, or at least outsiders, when they looked at Brian Schottenheimer getting hired in Dallas, and a lot of people thought, man, this is a candidate we all thought had kind of gone by the wayside. But Dallas has been really positive about him, and he's had a really good offseason. What are kind of the thoughts or the sense around the league about Brian Schottenheimer as a head coach and his prospects into the future and what kind of a coach he might be able to be?
Well, first of all, of course, everybody's going to be positive about him right now. Every team, every city is positive about their new coach everywhere because nobody's lost a game. So, I mean, it's really simple and easy. Like, if you weren't positive about your new head coach right now, like I can't even remember a head coach that started out that got hired where the team and city weren't positive about that guy. Maybe Adam Gase after the opening press conference when his eyes were darting all over the place, like people wondering what's going on there. But short of that, you know, everybody's always in love with their new head coach, just the way that it kind of is. Now, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, you know, I remember, you know, 15 years ago or so, he was the guy. He was the hot candidate. He was, you know, what all these young studs are. And then he I remember him turning down some interviews. Like, he turned down the chance to interview with the Bills, didn't go back to talk to the Dolphins, and all these teams that sought him out, the way that so many young coordinators are sought out today, they just kind of went away. The opportunities dried up. And then obviously over time, he's with Dallas. The Jones family gets to know him. His spirit is rekindled, so to speak. His stock rises. You know, it's like a stock that was really high, that crashed, it was down, and all of a sudden somebody revived the company and the stock takes off again. That's really what it's like. And the truth of the matter is, really, none of the conversation really matters. I think that the players so far really like him. The organization is really pleased with them. You would expect that to be the case. The true results and the true proof will be in how they play this year. But there are a lot of positive signs. There are a lot of positive indications. I think people feel good about him. And if Dallas Cowboys win games and have the type of playoff success that they haven't had in recent years, then people are going to feel even better about Brian. And they'll continue to celebrate him.
When did you realize yesterday that Brandon Cooks was not George Pickens?
yesterday? Why? You mean like George Pickens coming out and catching a touchdown on the first play of practice? Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Listen, Brandon Cooks. Well, here's the thing. You know, you want to equate those two players. If George Pickens carried himself the way that Brandon Cooks did, okay, George Pickens would be the greatest wide receiver in the league. That's what George Pickens is trying to pick up. Because Brandon Cooks is a pro. He's a pro. He may not be as talented as George Pickens.
Yeah.
But he's a pro.
I'm alluding to the ESPN video that went viral with you guys on set showing the Cowboys practicing when that was from a couple years ago. Were you not aware of that?
I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I think
I didn't know it happened.
Yeah, that went viral. All right, last thing before we get to this awesome early detection that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Teach us how to, you dress like, you know, a professor, like always, every day. Teach us how in journalism class to break a story. How's a normal story get broken from Adam Schefter, the process of it?
Well, that's like asking a coach, you know, how to draw up a successful play. Right. And every play is different and every story is different. And some stories you're working on for weeks or months and they don't work out. And some stories you don't even know are happening. And somebody calls you and they're like, this is happening. Like, whoa. So everything is always different. There is no actual formula. I remember one time I was working in Denver at the Denver Post and I was about to leave. This was when I was single and had far less responsibility, no kids. Didn't have four dogs. I could do whatever the hell I wanted to do. And I was going to play golf in Scotland with a bunch of people. And it was the summer in which, oddly enough, the Denver Broncos were rumored to be interested in Steve Young. And everybody was obsessed about that because John Elway had retired. And I remember my sports editor at the time, a guy I loved and enjoyed working with, Dave Wright. He goes, okay, can you just leave me the number that I call to find out if they signed Steve Young? Like there's a one-stop shop number. Like, you think that's how it works? Like you just call this one number and they give you the answer about whether or not the Denver Broncos signed Steve? Are you out of your mind? Like there's no one number. There are all these numbers and you got to be on the phone with these people all day. And and it's massaging it and figuring it out and waiting and being patient. And yeah, it doesn't work like that, Dave. Yeah, so good luck. Let me go play golf and I'll get back to Steve Young when we get back from vacation.
Adam, talk to us about Sanofi and what you're doing with the early detection.
Yeah, well, this is really important. And really, I know we've talked a lot about here, Micah Parsons and George Pickens. But if I could leave the listeners today with anything, it would be this. And early information is sort of how I make my living, the value of early information that you're asking me about. And I want everyone to know that early knowledge is crucial when it comes to your health. And it's why I've partnered with Sanofi to raise awareness about the importance of screening for type 1 diabetes. My wife, Shari, has type 1 diabetes. I've seen what it's like for her to manage the disease. Not great. T1D can't be prevented, but it can be detected early. And screening gives you valuable time to prepare. And it's why I really believe it's important for everybody to make a plan. And they can go visit screenfortype1.com to learn more about T1D. Talk to your doctor about T1D. Tell your doctor you want to be screened. Just think it's really important for people.
Hey, it's Morgan Abscher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
To do that right now. So just one more time, if you don't mind, visit screenfortype1.com to learn more about T1D.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Keep up the legendary work. Look forward to having you on again. Happy football season.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate having me. Enjoy the summer.
Adam Schefter from ESPN here in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat, the only place you're going to get all your future protein, whether it's steaks, whether it's briskets. It is Wild Fork Foods, another official training camp sponsors of 105.3 The Fan. More morning show good luck for Brett Boone.
Maybe.
The night before, it happened again. 6-2 Rangers. Let's talk about it with the Rangers hitting coach next.
Harris fires, and that ball is hit high and deep to right field. Thomas going back. He's at the wall, and it is gone. Into the Rangers bullpen. Corey Seager with a 3-run home run, and the Rangers now lead 6-1.
More luck from the morning show on your home of the Rangers. Thanks to Chef Eric, the boss, everyone with the compliments on the explosive, I told you to be loaded,
loaded
hump day edition
hump day
of Sean and RJ. And the fan cam is getting worn out with Brian Broaddus from Oxnard, Adam Schefter in the Wild Fork Foods hot seat. And we're about to be joined by Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone. More good luck from us the night before his appearance. They score 6-2. Take the first two against the Athletics. DeGrom moves to 10-2, and it'll be Patrick Corbin on the mound tonight. 6:30 pregame, first pitch at 7 p.m. I love when we have Adam Schefter on. People I haven't heard from a long time all of a sudden text me, and they're like, whoa, Schefter? Whoa, how'd you do that? How'd you get that?
Kind of big.
You know who was pumped about it was Sandler. Sandler was giving us the promo tweets. He had texted me. He's like, hey, he's going to be on at night. Like, he's a Schefter
fan. And he
fan.
Texts me. He goes, my God, he knows RJ? How'd he know? And I was like, well, I think he read it on Zoom. But he didn't read Bobby. And for damn sure, he's not going to read my name because everyone justifiably terrified.
But you know, he said it. Sean. He said Sean earlier in the show.
Did he?
When he first Sean, came on, he said, Sean, RJ, Bobby, good to be with y'all.
Okay.
Now, here's the only thing is that he only referenced Choppy's name. Mine was the only one clearly spelled out. If you look, I have my first and last name separated. Y'all's are squished together. It's not easy to quickly identify it. He shouldn't have been able to read y'all's as easy.
We're about to be joined by Texas Rangers hitting coach and, of course, Odyssey baseball insider Brett Boone. Have you kissed up to Brett enough? You have the weekly conversations?
Yeah, you know, I texted him yesterday a couple times. I showed him the video of his brother getting into it with John Boy. I thought Aaron did a good job there.
All right, let me set up the intro and then tell us about that. We're joined by Brett Boone. Insider calls presented by Grainger. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast here on 105.3 The Fan. What happened with Aaron Boone? That got tense.
It did get tense. He was on with John Boy. And I guess, is it Jake? I don't know the other guy's name.
I have no idea.
We have no idea.
But anyway, so it was...
Which one's John Boy, the one on the left or right?
If you're looking at the thing, it's on the left. So okay.
So he's like a kid.
Yeah, I mean he's I don't know if he's our age or not, but he's certainly he's probably around Bobby's age. But
I am younger than y'all.
Yes. But it was they're talking Yanks, and somehow they get Aaron Boone on. You know, it's just they get Aaron Boone on, and they were kind of going at him over basically the fact that they don't think that the team acts appropriately from an outward emotion standpoint. He says, it looks like y'all don't care. And Aaron's like, I don't care if you guys think that we don't care. Trust me, these guys care. And that's a tug of war.
Yeah.
Right? It's a tug
of
war.
What a weird criticism. Like, you're not showing enough emotion for me.
Yeah. And he goes, this is what we want. He goes, we want you to act like this in your post-game press conference. He goes, well, I don't care what you want. This is not going to happen. So we were talking about that. He's like, man, it's like he's 9 years old and he's arguing over wiffle ball, Homer. He goes, that's the real Aaron.
And this Rangers offense has started to deliver.
It has. It is the number one offense in Major League Baseball since June 7th. Woo! Over almost 5.5 runs per game since June 7th. I think that kind of goes and coincides with when this guy took over.
Brett Boone, thank you for all that. Good morning.
Guys.
How you doing?
Sorry about my setup today. I got feedback. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear a little feedback. We know it's your first podcast, so we're willing to give you some grace here with that.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's like Rowdy Tellez. Just get him on the phone, Pepe.
Rowdy Tellez.
What are the chances Rowdy said something to Brett about that?
Oh, yeah, and the Rangers are doing this on purpose.
We should play G-Bag drops as questions like throughout the interview. Like, hey, you had a brisket yet, Brett?
The fattest person you've ever played with.
But look, Corey Seager has gotten going, hitting almost 360 for the month. He ends the game. Marcus Semien starts it off. Josh Smith with the insurance. Brett, let's try this again. You there?
You got me?
Yeah. We got you.
All right, I apologize. Sorry.
All good, brother.
Ready to roll.
We appreciate you. All right, so just talk to us about what has started the click and why you guys have really gotten going with those numbers RJ's talking about, the number one offense in baseball over the past month.
Well, I just think it's something. You look at this team and you look – I've only watched it from afar. Coming on with you guys for the last couple of years on Wednesdays and – covering them in that capacity, and you watch them, and it's the same kind of, for the most part, it's a lot of the same guys from that 23 run, and you come here and you look and you say, what's going on offensively? And I can't sit here and say that, oh, because I came here and we did this. These guys are just really good players that kind of got away from doing what was successful for them, and they're getting back to that. You know, you had Corey go down and then kind of come back and really scuffled for a month. You know, I don't think a lot of people were used to it. Now, all of a sudden it clicked and he's Corey Seager again. And you put him in the middle of that lineup, but there's a lot of talent on this lineup. Guys are starting to kind of, there is a little bit of a difference when I come into the clubhouse, when I'm in that dugout before the game, that I can't really, without getting wooey on you, it's just that something, you know, that it factor that the guys are starting to have, like going into the game, like, hey, we're going to win this game. Whereas before it was kind of hopefully we win today and we play well.
Mm-hmm.
They're finding a way. The thing that I've noticed is for the first 3 weeks or months or so, it seemed, boy, we got down in that game early. It was kind of over. Pitching was great, but the games that we'd get down two or three, it was like there was no coming back. I don't remember the last time, with the exception of a Sunday, I think, in Houston a couple weeks ago before the break. With the exception of that, I don't remember a game where we got down in the game and we didn't at least come back to tie it. And I don't remember that happening in the last 5 or 6 weeks. So these guys have got fight in them now. We've lost a lot of tough games in July, but right now, you know, guys had a nice break. We come back. We went 4 out of 5 out of the break this year, and looking forward, I think we're gonna have a really nice second half.
Brett, do y'all think or talk about it all that if you find a way to get in the playoffs with those two guys at the top of your rotation, that this is the team that nobody wants to play, that you got a real chance?
I think that kind of goes, you know, without saying. I mean, you look at these guys. You look at a Jacob on the mound. You look at what Nate's done, and you know, with a sub-2 ERA all year. And I think that goes without saying. You know, the bullpen's done a really nice job as well. I think, you know, it's up there in the top in baseball as well. So I think that goes without saying. We play unbelievable defense. These guys do, and the offense was missing early, but it's coming back. This is a really good team. And I tell them all the time, it's different than it used to be as far as making the playoffs. There's a lot more spots now. All you need is a place at the table, and we talk about that. Of course, you get greedy, and as we get closer, you want to win the division always. But I think in 2025, and I think the Texas Rangers a couple of years ago proved that, you know, playing the Diamondbacks in the World Series, that all you need is a seat at the table. And, you know, we're looking at it that way as of now.
Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Brett, Josh Young came back up this week. He had a really nice first game back. What have your impressions been seeing him come back? Does he look like, all right, this is the right headspace? This is exactly what we want to see. He's seeing the ball a lot better.
Josh, he seems to be in a good headspace. You know, he seems to be smiling, back in his element. And I felt great for him when he came back. He hit the home run. He got a big hit. He worked in a walk, and that's always so nice to come back when you do get sent to the minor leagues. I've been there, you know, and I really haven't had a chance to talk to him about it at length. I've had a lot going on the last couple of days, but I've been in his shoes. I've got sent down. I've got sent down again, and then you come back. You go back and forth, and it's a little bit humbling. When it happens, but it's part of the journey, and it's part of learning to deal with adversity. Nobody wanted to see Younger go down, but he did. He came back and had a big game. Got another knock yesterday. So hopefully this is really good things to come and get Josh playing like Josh Young could play.
You've also had some new bats come up to the majors in Michael Hellman and Cody Freeman. They both got their first hits back-to-back. Then you had the big home run from Rowdy Tellez this week. What have your impressions just been of those guys coming up and joining the team and the way that they look at the plate?
I've heard a lot of good things about Rowdy. They said you'll love him in the clubhouse. He's already kind of making his impression known. That guys really like him. He's just kind of that. It's hard to explain, but he draws people to him. You look at Hellman hitting his first big league home run, big one too, you know, big part of that win the other night. That was great. And to see.
Hey, it's Morgan Absher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cody get his first hit, the excitement. I mean, I looked at him at second base. He was going crazy. He's a good kid. He's a good kid and good player. You know, I watch him prepare and I'm going, what are you hitting at AAA? He said 315. I said, wow. I said, now I can see why. I said, not too many people hit 315 anymore. He's got a really good idea. His approach, his thought process through the hitting session, I was picking his brain a little bit, and he for a guy that hasn't been in the big leagues, he has. I was really impressed with his prep going into a game. How he's going to approach certain pitchers and what they're going to try to do to him. Interesting conversation. Always love having those. So I'm looking forward to see what those guys bring for us.
Tellez didn't mention the radio station or nothing yesterday, right? Did you talk to him or have any conversation?
I didn't. What happened?
Nothing. It's our afternoon.
Nothing we did.
Our afternoon show acting a fool. They had a bad interview with Rowdy.
Terrible.
We're punishing them.
All them, not Rowdy at all.
Yeah, not Rowdy. Rowdy was awesome. I just wanted to make sure, you know, it didn't permeate through the clubhouse.
No.
But I would like to know. I thought I saw you at the cage with Clay Thompson taking some BP. Did you talk to Clay? Impressions of Clay's swing, or just having him out there?
I talked to we just had Clay out there and I talked to him a little bit. I think he's from the Seattle area. So he was asking me questions about some of my yesteryear teams with the Seattle Mariners. So good guy. Watched him hack. Little to be desired there.
But oh, no.
He was all right. He did okay. And as the session went on, he got better. But he wanted to hit a homer. And he kept he kept saying, no, I got to stay here till I hit a home run. And I'm kind of, you know, I wasn't saying it to him, but I'm kind of looking. I forget who I was. Maybe Simeon was there watching. And I kind of gave him the eye roll like, well, we're going to be waiting here a long time because he is not hitting one over there. But Clay Thompson, you know, obviously great career. Great guy. Great guy. I got a picture with him.
Oh.
So a little bit of different, little height difference. Yeah. But no, it's good to have. It's great having guys like that out all the time. You know, guys from different sports at the top of their sport coming out and hanging out with us and let them see what it's like to really get in a big league box. As we love going to their arena and seeing them work. You know, it's a cool thing to see. You know, we just do this for a living, and getting in the box and at the big leagues is no big deal for us. But for an NBA or an NFL player to come sit in the box, it kind of puts it in reality like, whoa, this is what it's like. Yeah. And you get me in a huddle and that's, I'm a fish out of water, but it's cool at the top level, spending time with guys that do it for a living.
Brett Boone pop culture quiz. Do you know Klay Thompson's girlfriend's name?
Absolutely no. Four-time world champion, though. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Four-time
yeah.
world champion.
Four times.
Yeah, it's five-time All-Star. Yeah. But great player.
But the girlfriend, Brett.
No.
No clue. Who is it? Am I supposed to know this?
It's Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan Thee Stallion. She's not on the iTunes on the Spotify.
No. I'll tell you, I'm sure it's on one of our guys.
Yep. Yes. Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%.
I will make that my mission today. I will find out who that is. Yes. She might have been with him, and I didn't even know.
Yes, I think you may have noticed. I think so. Thank you, brother. Keep it up. Go score big again tonight and the rest of this week. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Odyssey Baseball Insider Rangers hitting coach Brett Boone, brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Will the boycott begin for RJ Choppy after what the KNC Masterpiece did to him in California? Find out next. Crosstalk with some of us, including the KNC Masterpiece in Oxnard, California, here on DFW Sports Station. They are also on the FanCam, Twitch, and YouTube, and they look like they're ready to go. What's up, Corey?
What's going on, Sean? I'm very upset right now that on the screen it says you don't get to see my face, and I can only presume that that is our Sir RJ Choppy, or Lord Choppy. Is that what it is?
Yeah, yeah. He went
that
to McDonald's.
Why? Him and Mike, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, look at that. This is our Teoscar Hernandez bobblehead we got at the Dodgers game last night. He did not play, which was weird. That's a weird thing on bobblehead night. Just because you've gone 1-for-15 and struck out five times in your last at bats, you don't get to play on your own bobblehead night. It was a good night, though, man.
And I always trust Corey Majors with food. I saw you tweet that the Dodger dog is overrated.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah, as DJ just said, he asked me, and I was like, yeah, that's a good example. It's a dirty water dog. I think it just has more legend to it, you know, because of the history of the stadium and the, you know, I don't even know if they know what a real hot dog is in California. So that was, but it was just, all the flavor from the Dodger dog came from my relish and ketchup and mustard. Like that was
dirty
pretty
water
much
dog.
It. Yeah. Dirty water dog.
Kevin, you agree? That's a childish thing to eat.
He had amazing
that's
nachos.
That's a fair point. I bought the nachos in the batting helmets, which was super neat, and then I have a built-in souvenir to take home.
And he wore it. You wore that helmet.
Yes.
With the cheese?
No. I thought about if they went to me on, like, the camera on the big screen that I would just dump the nachos on my head, but it
did
not.
Were you and Corey holding each other like the CEO couple?
That was to cover his face. That's what he's going to do with the nachos.
So the reason RJ Choppy is boycotting the KNC Masterpiece, because they pre-recorded with Tennessee volunteer Joe Milton, and here's a little piece of that interview.
And what do you want us to say to RJ Choppy about his jealousy?
I wouldn't say nothing about his jealousy. I would mostly say, dang, you couldn't be here today. We're sorry about that. I can't wait to meet you.
Oh, that's man, nice.
Those guys didn't help you out by bringing you here today. So, you know, but sorry to that.
Now, RJ is not answering questions from you guys or interacting with you today.
I think he's going to want to.
Yeah. Guess what?
Uh-oh.
We were prepared for this.
Yo, hold on. Let Sean finish it out.
Okay.
I got a surprise for you, though.
Well, I'm more interested in that than hearing RJ speak. I've just had 4 hours of that. What do you guys have going on?
All right. So, first off, obviously, we were thinking about you, Chop, while we were talking with Joe Milton yesterday.
RJ's nodding his head.
There's more in that interview about you, RJ.
Yeah, for sure. And next week when you get out here, I think there's going to be a reunion between the two of you. So, like, that's something that has to happen now, obviously.
But tell them that I appreciate that. Tell them that I appreciate that.
RJ appreciates that. And I was going to tell you to play his rant at 8:20 about you guys and the Joe Milton thing, but I would maybe scratch that. Don't worry about it.
I'm a fan of toxicity. I want to keep this going. RJ, I want you to remember something.
Okay.
You were supposed to make that connection. No one was supposed to gift it to you.
Right.
Or to be a mediator for you.
Tell them that I don't want their charity.
He doesn't want your charity.
Okay. Oh, okay.
He said this isn't peace-a-thon.
We're going to put that to the test because we also procured an offering for RJ Choppy that I believe Corey is going to present to you right now.
We asked him to draw his favorite scoring play up. On our roster, and we were gonna get it autographed and give it to you, Choppy.
But you don't want charity.
But you don't want charity. So
it's on a roster.
I mean, that's kind of cool.
This is cool. We also have a video.
Said that's kind of cool.
We have a video of him drawing this up too. And at one point, I think he goes, "And I don't know what this buckhead was doing." And I was like, "That's hilarious." So Joe Milton's fantastic, Chop. You need to get, whenever you get out here, whatever you do, even if it's not for on air, you need to say hi to him because he's a great dude. I really enjoyed talking with
him. Chop, do you recognize that play? Were you at that game?
That was I don't recognize that play. Because I don't recognize them.
Oh, that's right.
I couldn't even see it. Right. I couldn't even see the play. I couldn't even see the play. I even blew the screen up. I couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But tell them that I appreciate what they're trying to do for me here.
He appreciates what you're trying to do here. What else is coming up on the show before we get into the audio of the year?
Man, we do have Joe Milton coming up at noon today. We have Bochy coming up at 12:30 today.
Overshown at 11.
Overshown at 11. We're rocking with FC Dallas.
Now that's Sean's favorite guest. Now you got Sean Madden.
So
you guys took Sean's favorite guest.
So listen, all right. Kevin was amazing yesterday. Kevin was.
I would respect it if you guys took CD tomorrow.
That's our goal. But Kevin was standing. You know, whenever they in practice, you kind of have.
Sean has disappeared from the van again.
Oh man, it's two guests. We probably won't get any other guests. I think we're supposed to get Osa today. So
I need to send that email now.
Send it, Bobby.
You didn't tell me to yet.
Well, Bobby has not sent our guest list. I thought even thought I said yesterday in crosstalk. As long as it's not Overshown, as long as it's not Ferguson.
Time out. Hold on. We got an offering for you as well.
Oh, you're having to draw up a linebacker play?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a goal line stance on another roster for me?
So, I caught Overshown after practice. So, it was a shorter interview. So, you can still have him come sit down in the booth with you.
Okay.
And then,
So, this is not a sit down.
No, one more offering for you, Sean. You're going to like this interview. There is another. The ticket is out here as well. We might as well just cut to the chase. And they were trying some tomfoolery yesterday that really blew up in their face. And so I asked Marvion Overshown two questions about stupid things that they were doing, and he agreed that they were stupid.
Love it. All right, I'm back. I'm back on the fan cam.
Oh, man.
All right.
This is great.
Corey, I'm guessing you heard the Rowdy Tellez incident.
It was, Sean, we were at the Dodger game. This is all we were talking
about. Thanks to Bobby.
Yeah,
thank
you. This is great.
You heard it too, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. No, I called Eric, too, as soon as we were made aware of this. And I was like, dude, what happened? And he goes, oh, did you hear about that? So, like, we called him from the concourse at Dodger Stadium, and he was not, like, you know, super jokey about it. He was like, yeah, it didn't work.
I thought Broadus an hour ago was pretty, like, He was pretty relaxed about it. Bobby, set up the first few clips,
yeah,
please.
So he was, Broaddus was just, I think, kind of like, yeah, this is embarrassing. I don't want to even think about it. This is the first one here. This is Gavin Dawson mentioning, I think, about seven times in the first minute that Rowdy Tellez was on that, well, he's a big giant guy.
Oh, 6'4", 270 of Rowdy Tellez joining in now here on your home of the Rangers. And a good afternoon, sir. Welcome to Texas. How the hell are you?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Well, yeah, it is great to have you. And they say everything is bigger in Texas, so I guess you're fitting right in, huh? Is that the story?
I guess so. I mean, I'm built more like an offensive lineman than a first baseman, but I guess it worked.
Now, seriously, though, how many brisket sandwiches are you in right now?
Oh.
Had yourself a brisket sando yet, Rowdy?
No, I live here, so I'm...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I've lived here for a while, so I've dabbled in my fair share of them.
Right on.
Yeah.
See, I thought I noticed some Texan in your voice. I should have.
No, it ain't. No, it's. Nope. I don't think it sounds any different.
Nope. Right on.
Right on. Oh, God. Right on. So that was clearly uncomfortable. And
three straight insults to start.
Zach came in and was like, "All right, let's pivot. Let's ask about like, oh, you playing first base? Do you guys trash talk over there?" Gotten a few questions, and then Eric Chiafalo was like, I don't think we've touched on the weight thing enough.
I've seen the other nickname float around. I don't know if you've heard it. The Girthquake?
Yeah, I haven't heard that one, so that's new to me, but that's kind of funny.
That's pretty badass, is it? Now, you're from California, and nope. Girthy as hell.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I like that one.
All right. Wow, okay.
All right.
It took 15 seconds to go from that's clever to, yeah, I don't think I like that. And I know what Eric was doing. Like, he was making a girth like a penis joke. But that is not. That's what he was doing. You know it,
that's
and so
true.
Do I.
Michael Penix.
The next one here, Gavin Dawson was like, all right, let's bring it back to some of our questions we have in the bank. And he came back with a food question.
What would be a Rowdy Tellez concession item if... if you got to design it?
Trying to think. Anything probably with brisket. I love brisket. So like a good brisket sandwich, maybe some like onion strings on it and like a sweet barbecue sauce.
Dear God, Gavin Dawson, please don't ask about food anymore. Just ask about other players around Major League Baseball.
How do these guys' wives, like, I feel so bad for all of their significant others. They're this tone deaf. Like, they're this stupid. How can you be this? No, this isn't even, like, crazy insults. Like, people are like, oh, give him a pat. Choppy's like, I think they just found out about it, like, the segment before. That does not get you off the hook for not picking up the tone of your interview subject on the fourth time you've insulted his weight. I don't care if you didn't have enough time to figure out where he played college ball and how many home runs did he hit off. You're not getting the tone of the interview. Like, what are the conversations like with your women?
Tell him Brett Boone just texted, wants the audio to the interview. He wants to hear it.
No.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, we're doing all that.
No.
You know what, though? Gavin Dawson's a radio pro, and he's got segues galore.
Okay, speaking of big guys, Cal Raleigh's just a sensation. You've been on the Mariners. What do you make of this dude?
He can bang, man. He's a really hard worker, good teammate. But he's on the other team now, so we're gonna come after him, and we're gonna do what we can to neutralize it and just get him out. So
you got to play the what would speaking your other guys. Job be? Because that one is so uncomfortable.
That's the last one. If you want to play that one out, hit it, Peyton.
If your job was not hitting absolute bombs, about one a week or so, what do you think you'd be into? Would you be a minister or something like that?
Probably not that either. I thought you were going to go something like along the fat joke line, like how you asked me about food, but
oh my bad,
maybe like a taste tester. But I think probably a hunting guide.
Hunting.
I'd like to do that.
And buddy, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make a fat joke. I just thought you're a tank.
No, I'm self-deprecating too, so don't worry. I beat you to it.
It's all good, broski. You're the man, dude. It's been great catching up with you, learning more about your story. Best of luck, and let's do it again next year in Surprise, Arizona for spring training.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Salute.
Man, hey, broski, don't worry, broski, I got you.
I think this setup
you're
great.
The man.
I think this is a perfect setup yeah. for a future great relationship.
What did you find? What did you find in his Wikipedia page about?
Well,
you know,
I mean,
maybe
you know,
being
he wasn't
going
to go into the missionary and be a minister because it turns out that he is Jewish.
And they, I don't think that would
bring
you
into the missionary.
I don't think that would bring you into the missionary.
Into
what?
The mission.
What?
I think he goes into the mission, not into the missionary.
What did I say? Into the missionary.
I don't know if I like that one.
The KNC Masterpiece brought to you by the on-time.
That's on me. That's on me.
On-time experts, Rhino Shield and Yarburn Southern Table and Bar. Next on 105.3 The Fan.
Hey, it's Morgan Abscher.
And I'm Kaylin Moore.
And we're the hosts of the Crime House original podcast, Clues.
Every Wednesday, we sneak past the crime scene tape and open a new case file for some of the most gripping true crime cases.
Follow and listen to Clues, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.